Two prosecutors in the bungled corruption case of former Senator Ted Stevens have been ordered suspended without pay. The suspension comes as part of a new report on the trial. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, this is the harshest punishment to date.
The report runs nearly 700 pages and was sent to the House and Senate Judiciary Committees and Judge Emmett Sullivan. Sullivan presided over the case in 2008. It comes from the United States Department of Justice, the agency that prosecuted the late senator and ultimately reversed the conviction because of the prosecutor's misconduct. Joseph Bottini, still an assistant U.S. attorney in Anchorage, will be suspended for 40 days without pay, and James Gecky, now assistant U.S. attorney in Washington State, will be suspended without pay for 15 days. The two withheld information in the Stevens corruption trial that would have discredited the government's key witness, Bill Allen. The report says the prosecutors recklessly ignored contradictory statements from Allen and refused to share information showing Stevens was willing to pay for the construction work done on his Girdwood home. A report from a special prosecutor released in March said no charges should be filed against the two. That report said the misconduct was completely intentional. This one, from the DOJ, notes the misconduct as unintentional. It does not name any other members of the prosecution team, though it says one exercised poor judgment. Some could see the suspension without pay as a slap on the wrist. The two could have lost their jobs. Either way, they can appeal. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
The U.S. Senate yesterday rejected an amendment by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski to require a comprehensive study before genetically engineered salmon can be sold to consumers. Murkowski, she's disappointed that the study requirement failed with the 50-46 vote. She notes that it's closer than previous votes on the subject. Her amendment to the Food and Drug Administration reauthorization bill would have required the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to do the same scientific and economic analysis for genetically modified salmon as it does for other federal fisheries.
The FDA is not looking at labeling this fish. The FDA is not considering the environmental impact of escapement on this fish into the marine environment. And what I'm asking is for the agency that has oversight of our fisheries to have a role in this process.
Senator Mark Begich co-sponsored the legislation. He says there is progress in the fight against the so-called frankenfish. Begich says the vote shows more Americans are realizing that genetically engineered seafood is risky and unnecessary. Begich has sponsored three bills that attempted to ban, label, or prohibit the interstate commerce of the genetically modified fish. Aqua Bounty has developed an Atlantic salmon that would grow year-round and make it to market size quicker. The company claims it would rear only sterile female salmon in a landlocked area to prevent escapes in the wild. Alaskans see it as a direct threat to one of the state's largest industries. If Aqua Bounty's fish is certified, it would be the first genetically engineered meat product approved for human consumption. Two witnesses in the trial of a Fairbanks militia leader described Schaefer Cox as having the charm of a cult leader. One of the witnesses to testify yesterday in federal court in Anchorage was Cox's mother-in-law, Anchorage Elementary School teacher Janice Stewart, whose daughter is married to Cox. Stewart testified that Cox's rhetoric became increasingly anti-government and violent. Sarah Thompson, the former sister-in-law of defendant Coleman Barney, said she saw Cox become increasingly paranoid about the safety and or about his safety and sounding more and more like cult leader David Koresh of the Branch Davidians. Cox, Barney, and a third person are accused of conspiring to murder law enforcement officials and judges, as well as weapons charges. After spending $5 million last September on dozens of mining leases off the coast of Nome, Arumar Alaska Incorporated will begin a two-year feasibility study next month to decide if their leases warrant large-scale gold mining operations. The company revealed its plans for that study at a public meeting this week in Nome. Arumar is a joint venture between the South African gold company Anglo Gold Ashanti, the third largest gold producer in the world, and De Beers, the world's leading diamond firm. With projects in New Zealand and South Africa, Nome is the company's only active site in North America. Urban Berger is a geologist with Arumar from Cape Town, South Africa, and he says the sampling project will bring two additional vessels to Nome's already crowded harbor, including a nearly 150-foot drilling ship. The 40-day sampling campaign will drill in all 26 of their leases.
We want to get an understanding of the geology to understand where the gold sits and what concentrates it. We'll be going, 16 feet, collecting 350 of these drill holes, and then we can basically put them in our lab and we can study them quite detailed. Because if you understand the geology, you'll know where to go and mine the gold.
Arumar estimates the annual cost of the feasibility study to be between $5 and $6 million. The manager for the project, Gary Van Eck, says if large-scale operations prove feasible, they would begin the next step in the project, the permitting process, to take advantage of the 2014 summer mining season. A Fairbanks man has agreed to plead guilty to second-degree murder in connection with a shooting outside of Ivory Jack's restaurant. Sean Jeffers has reached a plea agreement and is expected to receive no more than 60 years in prison for the shooting death of 20-year-old Brian Richardson. Richardson was shot once in the chest while sitting in a vehicle outside the Fairbanks restaurant in March of 2010. Jeffers' co-defendant, David Falmer, had been accused of planning Richardson's killing. He's pled guilty to third-degree felony assault and is serving a two-year sentence. A Finnish skier was killed on Denali Wednesday after tumbling 2,000 feet through rock and ice, landing in a crevasse. 36-year-old Ilkka Uusitalo fell while on the area known as the Orient Express, a 40 to 45-degree slope just below the 18,000-foot level. National Park Service Public Information Officer Maureen McLaughlin at the Talkeetna Ranger Station says the fall ended at about the bottom of a 60-foot crevasse.
And it was, like a tumbling fall. We've had a number of falls in the Orient Express. It's certainly a steep area. We don't get that many ski descents each year, maybe a small handful. But once one loses control, it's very steep terrain and hard to recover from that.
She says Uusitalo was part of a team with a lot of experience in similar ski descents in Europe. National Park Service rangers arrived on the scene about an hour after the fall and transported the body to Talkeetna. The accident is the second fatality at Denali this season. It's the 16th fatality on the Orient Express route since 1972. And Larice Marie McLeod, a botanist who documented wildflowers in Alaska and was a member of the Marie family of naturalists, has died at the age of 100. She passed away Tuesday in Jackson, Wyoming. Louise Marie McLeod was married to Adolph Marie, who studied grizzlies, wolves, and coyotes in Alaska and Wyoming. He died in 1974, and she then married Donald McLeod, who died in 1983. Louise and Adolph, her sister Marty, and her husband Olas Marie were instrumental in establishment of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. You're listening to Morning Edition here on KTOO Juneau. It's coming up on 7:30. The forecast calls for some fog this morning and some rain for most of this weekend.
Programming support comes from Rainbow Foods. Ready with the early signs of summer and the first flush of produce beginning to appear, including peaches, apricots, strawberries, and corn. Rainbow Foods, located downtown on 4th Street and a proud sponsor of Public Radio in Juneau. Summer classes start this week at the University of Alaska Southeast. Classes run throughout the summer, so there's still time to sign up. On-campus courses include Raven's Tail Weaving, Printmaking, Electric Vehicle Conversion, and Wilderness First Responder. E-learning courses are available in several subjects. The last day to register online is Friday, May 25th. More information at www.uas.alaska.edu or call 586-6100.